when you start to see the focus move from Christ, where the focus is on a person, or the focus is like this party in a charismatic church where it's all about y'all. Where did Jesus go? The counterfeit Holy Spirit, okay? That's part of the unholy Trinity. She's known as Kundalini, the Queen of Heaven. She's also known as Babylon. She's Jezebel. She's Gaia. She's Sibyl. She's the Lady of the Lake. She's Isis. All of that's the counterfeit Holy Spirit. And Kundalini coils around the base of the spine like a serpent. She engages your nervous system. In Survivor, she becomes the replacement mother figure. Remember, I told you that eventually they'll say, I reject all humans. I bond and attach to a deity. It's going to be her for the mother. Programmed children are taught to cycle their life force through their body. And each of the chakras, if you use a New Age term, they learn to cycle their energy through those chakras. And it's actually given over to these spirits. And when they do that, when they become one with their mother figure, one with the universe, in that state, they are able to have visions, they can prophesy, they do witchcraft of the highest order, they do clairvoyance, they have heightened spiritual awareness. This is the toughest part of programming to break, because this is where they feel they have purpose and power. So the victim part is not the hardest to deal with. You must deal with the human will that finally got power and became a god. And it sounds crazy, but that's why the devil keeps them in bondage, because there's a perk to it.
Welcome to the Days of Noah podcast, where we talk all things biblical, supernatural, and strange. Today we conclude the second half of our conversation with Gina Phillips, and this one takes a turn into understanding a false Jesus, a counterfeit Holy Spirit, Kundalini Spirit, the unholy Trinity, as Gina terms it. There are deceivers and false spirits for everything that God does that is genuine. This is a tactic of the enemy. And how many times are we warned by Christ himself, be ye not deceived? And so we need to be discerning and ask God for help, understanding his word, the whole counsel of scripture to be able to do that. And sometimes it's not easy. Many of our listeners will recall us removing a couple of episodes months back, as we learned that one of our guests was not who she claimed to be. So it does take discernment and prayer and understanding and getting advice from Christians who have walked this path, like Gina, who have so much insight. We talk about applying the finished work of Christ, the rules of engagement in the spirit realm, how it affects the physical and the natural world, and that the church's finest hour is yet to come, and the greatest harvest of souls is likely to come from the SRA and mind-controlled community. The end of the world programming, where God is using what the enemy is up to bring in salvation to millions. Guys, if you like this content, please remember to give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform and send a link to your family and friends. If you'd like to further support us beyond simply leaving us a positive review or sharing the episode, choose a support link in the show notes description and send a donation. That helps keep us on the air and keeps the equipment up and running to talk about these important issues. Do check out Gina Phillips' website as well, gina-phillips.com. And with that, let's conclude our conversation with Gina.
How they control the big army worldwide is the tier system. So we brought up the point that tier zero are your powers, principalities, your bad demons, your hybrids. And so tier one, who are your world leaders that are public, right? There's a lot of them that the big world leaders, I'm told, are hidden and you don't see them. But the public figures like the Pope or Hillary or people who have a platform, they're going to go to the rituals and they're going to sit and consult these world ruler principalities and powers and go, what's the direction, right? And then they're going to come with their platform and they're going to send out codes. I'm going to give you an example that are going to go to the next tier, right? To begin to give symbols and signals for programming and people who are programmed to act. So one of the examples that's easy to show that happened with Hillary Clinton. I have this in one of my videos. When she came to her concession speech, y'all noticed that she had on these neon purple lapel and neon purple tie Bill had on. And that was so strange. It was a code, right? Red, white, and blue, you would think, but never have we had purple, somebody wear neon purple. That was a code for end times, or some of my people call it end of the world programming. And so at tier one, she was saying, activate. End of the world programming. End of the world meaning it's a two-stage program where they activate, get ready for what's going to happen before we usher in the beast system. Okay, that's what that programming means. They call it end of the world. The people that I have, the Black Awakening, I didn't read that book, but it's going to be included in this when I sit and share it with you. We all have our language. And so, it's a two-stage program. And so if you notice on tier two is going to be your media. It's going to be television shows. It's going to be, sports events, things like that. It's going to be the people who go to further masses, because not everybody may have watched an election, right? So they're going to pick up that message. It's going to take them some time to do some shows and some halftime shows. It's going to take them a little time to say, we're going to send out that message to the masses. So shortly after that, we saw the Purple Rain halftime show of the Super Bowl, right? The Purple Rain, and there's a whole lot in there. I did a decode on that, but that was in Minneapolis, and they painted the whole city purple. You saw that same neon purple color after the Super Bowl halftime show dedicated to Prince. They put his symbol over the Superdome and over the city of Minneapolis, because you got the blimp view of it being neon purple. And that's saying, all right, activate it. Purple in the city. So the very first city that the Black Lives Matter stuff started kicking out with was Minneapolis. That was the first city where you saw them beginning to bust windows and set fires. And if you look at the Prince, this is a very cursory example, but that Prince album where I said movies and albums will be programs. They're like playbooks, right? And you can pull things out of them because they're in the programmed people and say, do this. That Prince album, if you sat and looked at his videos from that old album, one of the things that happened was the whole Black Lives Matter being activated out. You sat and you saw news people going, you know, we've got chaos happening here. And you had all these young people where Prince and his people run out and they're jumping on police cars and they're setting fires. They were doing just what happened then. I'm wanting you to know that this was a code. Okay. You can go back and look at his old video. And so Minneapolis, it began to go from other cities, the Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a mind control program. You saw the people that were doing it. They wore the black hoodies. When I saw that, my mouth dropped, because my daughter was the first person that I took that out of. She was little and she called it the Black T-shirt Club. And she drew the black hoodies and she's like, we're going to wear black hoodies and the goddess Nut is over it. And like, I could sit and show you pictures from years ago where she drew and I was like, oh, they're doing it, right? That was a beta test. But Black Lives Matter, the Green Deal, the gender fluidity, what we're seeing right now with the whole everybody hating Israel, no borders, defund the police, all of that, Those are mind control programs put in young people to cause civil unrest and to make it so chaotic. Okay. So then you move from tier number two, which is the news, down to tier number three. So people, let's say somebody watched the Super Bowl. This is a real thing. I had people that really do this. They may have been programmed, when you see purple at the Super Bowl, your job is to go and watch the Jimmy Kimmel show after that to get your very specific directions. Another one be, say, go watch Ellen DeGeneres, right? And it begins like a computer branch, right? So everybody has their big, massive color purple is into the world. When you see this, you go to this thing. And so you're beginning, like, notice in my home in Raleigh, we didn't have the whole civil unrest, but you did over on Portland, right? So it's like some people, you don't want to activate somebody that you didn't want that city to have it happen. All of those were beta tests. But that's showing you those symbols, and that's a, it gets really complex. That's how they run this army, and nobody has to ever see them. Y'all even saw in the halftime show, if you look back, hindsight, do you remember when they had it where they had hospital beds coming down with children in them? That was the code for COVID, getting ready for COVID. Now when you know what to look for.
Was that maybe 2018, 2019? I don't know which Super Bowl. Do you remember which one that was?
It was a couple of years, before. Well, a little bit of time for them to sit and roll it out.
That's incredibly sophisticated and efficient, because then it's not just George Soros and let's bus, you know, 50 people to this city and start burning things. But it's so much more sophisticated than that, because they can activate it in these ways that you're saying, in only the pockets that they want, when they want. And they don't have to send out, you know, a big text message. Oh, hey, did you get the message? We're supposed to go and loot this store. No, it's way beyond that.
That's why they don't get caught.
Yeah.
Or haven't so far. Yeah. And I want to say that, like, you know, when somebody's like, let's say you're just listening to the Prince album, that's just keeping that program alive in you. Events that are activation, saying pick this as an activation, those are things that are like Super Bowl events, presidential speeches, the Commonwealth Games. Y'all remember Bale when they had that big mechanical bull coming out and the people held up the shard crystals, the Commonwealth Games with the prince. There's fashion shows, all kinds of those things are the activation events where they're, it's not just keeping the programming alive. That's what people say, like the Simpsons, they're like, how do they do predictive programming? Oh. They're not prophesying. That Simpsons show, somebody who has Simpson programming, that's their playbook. And they can sit and pull it up and go, this one, right? Activate it. And they look like they told the future. They didn't. It's programming.
Wow.
It's pulling from a playbook. That's why you're seeing whoever the little Bucky guy is.
Saw
that show.
Captain America's
it's
buddy.
Like, it's keeping it alive in them. They're programming, right? And then you may have a scene that would pull some symbolism from Bucky in a Super Bowl show. Then you've activated.
Okay. Yes. That makes more sense. Wow. No, that's a really helpful overview. And some of that stuff I've heard you talk about on other shows, but it's good to, for our listeners who haven't gone through that prep that I did to, before we talked, to understand that, that part of it. Anything more you want to touch on there? Otherwise, I thought it'd be good to maybe talk about how you can have, like you said, the pastor's wife worshiping the false Jesus and not even knowing it. That one, when I heard you say that in one interview, I was like, okay, wait a minute. I understand about like having a presenter personality where you're a Christian and then you have all these altar personalities that are doing, you know, ritual occult things and you might not even know. But how could a Christian, or at least the presenter part, not know that the Jesus they're worshiping? Yeah, can you kind of unpack that?
Mm-hmm. I can. So we're going to get, this is complicated.
No, it's good. But we like to go deep.
he, He knows that a Christian can destroy him. So when you get to that, there's some programming that happens before the lab programming, which is under the medical supervision, but that's the most foundational and important part. And so he's going to make sure at that time that anything of a Christian child, they can tell in the spirit if you're destined to be Christ's. And so they want to make sure they do things like sequester your human spirit. Okay. So they'll sit under torture, you know, and for my daughter, they'll find what's your biggest fear. They'll sit and figure it out for each child. She having been adopted, their fear was you'll have to go back to your old mom, right? And you'll never see Gina again, right? And so in order under torture, and again, they're by the time this happens, you're drugged, you're weak, you fought. The lab is the horrible thing, but your will gets involved again. If you will reject your human spirit and allow it to be wrapped in a spirit of death, we'll let you go back home to your mother, right? The will does it. They take the child to near-death experiences. Each one will be to an elemental. Water, they're going to do a near-death experience in a bathtub. Earth, they're going to bury you underground. Air, they're going to suffocate you to near death. And fire, they're going to inject you with stuff that makes you feel like your skin is melting off, right? And you're going to end up making an agreement with an elemental spirit. So that human spirit, that child's will, because they love their mama or they didn't want that to happen, said, death, take my spirit. And it is, it'll be wrapped, the human spirit, right? And then if a child is going to be, they're going to do something called hell programming, and they'll sit and have the child again, it's easy to trick them because they're traumatized, they're drugged, they're exhausted, they've been electrocuted, they've been through near death, but they'll have a scenario set up where they lead the child to Christ. They can sit and see in the spirit if you belong to Christ. They want to try to jump out ahead of Christ. You want Jesus? You're hurt? Okay, let's call Jesus, and they'll lead that little child to Jesus, and you can tell the joy of encountering Christ. Then, bam, all of a sudden, a really horrific trauma where somebody dressed like Jesus comes out. They rape the child. They hurt the child. They reject the child, right? They're going to make you, I hate Jesus, right? And so they're going to begin that process of you rejecting Christ. He's just like everybody else. I don't want Christ, right? And the demons come in and save the show, right? They set it up like that. So you end up, this is way more complicated than this, but yeah. In the end, when it's all said and done, you're going to have a part of you that hates Christ, rejects Christ. Your human spirit is sequestered and wrapped in death. And then you're going to have a split part, one that thinks it's a worm and one that thinks it's a serpent and is a god. And you're going to become your own god and you're going to save yourself. And it's set up in there. The worm will be a part that was so hurt and so it rejected its humanity. It says, I don't even want to be a human. I reject humanity and I'm going to bond to that demon. I'm going to bond to the Queen of Heaven as my mother and Samael or Lucifer as my father. And so anyway, all this stuff's going on behind the scenes. Okay. So if you're going to be a Christian, they're going to bring in that fake Jesus we just read about in that scripture, because they know you're going to still keep, even though you've done all that, you're going to still keep fighting to try to find Christ. So you're going to have a part inside that may be called like the preacher or the Christian part, and they're going to introduce to you a spirit that masquerades as an angel of light. This is how that pastor's wife who had been programmed and who in her, she and her whole family, they would pray to them. That's why you can have them sit up and do praise and worship and they're calling Jesus. It's another Jesus, right? It's like they can sit and pray. They're praying to that spirit that poses as Christ. And so when I'm doing deliverance, you'll have, you know, people say, you know, ask Jesus to come, and you'll have that spirit do something that you know Jesus wouldn't do. So you learn to test and say, is this the real Jesus? It's why Jesus tells us to test the spirits, but they will have been praying to him. Sometimes they hit the right Jesus, but if they even do it 50% of the time, right, the devil's trying to keep us from defeating him. It's about dividing the will. And that's what happened to this pastor's wife. She had been a pastor's wife. And when we started working for a while and we encountered the fake Jesus and I had her test it, she wept. She was like, I cannot believe I've worshiped the wrong Jesus the whole time.
And what, and if I could ask, what did you do to test? How did you distinguish the difference? And then once you did, yeah, what were the differences that were so clear?
Mm-hmm. So it'll be something like, you know, because when I minister, I like to, if the person is able to go to Christ, sometimes parts can't, it's like you bring in, we begin to pray and we say, Christ, you know, would you come into this area and begin to reveal yourself to this fragment, this part of their brain or whatever, you know, their soul. And it was, I can't remember exactly what it was doing, but it said something that I knew Christ wouldn't say, something shameful, something, you know, it's like he wouldn't say that to you. And she's like, but I can see Jesus. He's holding me, but he's saying this. And so you test it. You say, I want you to say, are you who is Jesus Christ? Or are you the true Jesus Christ? You have to reveal yourself, right? And it'll either, like, you know, it may sit in, when you see it, it has this one little wonky eye that starts doing, you know, it'll reveal its true nature, right? You'll see daisies around its neck, which symbolizes death, or some kind of thing that shows it was fake, and you say, all right, you got to get out of there, right?
Okay, so
you ask, you test.
It's something that doesn't line up, right, with what Christ would do. Just a little anecdote. So would this be similar to... And this is one of the areas of topics, Gina and Luke, that I want to go down and invite some guests and authors, is on NDEs, near-death experiences, and how those can be revealing, but they can also be very deceptive. And I'm wondering if there's some false Jesuses in there. There was one particular one that a friend and I watched the testimony. And this guy was like, yeah, Jesus took me to hell and showed me all this stuff. And it was basically showing, you know, someone that was a believer, but then, oh, they had this one sin they couldn't get over. Oh, threw you to hell. And we're like, that doesn't sound like the Christ of the Bible. Like, we're not going to be sinless in this life. So, I mean, is it things like that where your spirit is just going, this doesn't line up? Is that kind of how you're testing the spirits?
You have to know the scripture.
Yeah.
And imagine, see, it's easy if you've been shamed so much. And when you really get into the, if I were to give you details of what happens, the level of shame and humiliation, for Jesus to say something that they don't even cross their mind. They're so used to those voices of the parts in their head shaming them that it could be minor to them and they don't notice, right, that Jesus wouldn't say that. Or they didn't know the word enough. We would know because we know he's not shaming, but they're so used to having heard it.
So it's a spiritual abuse then, because, I mean, I don't want to get into the details, but I know someone who grew up in a Christian family, but the dad was so overbearing spiritually, and it just made, and now their concept of God is messed up. And I just wonder if that's almost like him having a false Jesus, right? Like, it's so legalistic, or yeah.
Yes. And that fake spirit is going to be like an Egyptian. He's called Horus. He's called Odin if you're in, you know, Norse beliefs. He's called Tammuz if it's Babylonian. He is the Antichrist. He's the fake savior, right?
A religious
spirit.
The fake
spirit. Holy Spirit is Kundalini. It's the same thing, right? It's going to be save yourself. It's going to, because that's what they sit and do with this fake Jesus when they put it in, you know, and have them come to it. It's going to be a Jesus that makes you earn.
Wow.
You have to be good enough, right? It's carnal. That's another one of the signs. Jesus wouldn't do that, right? And so they're always religious spirit. Same thing.
That's exactly what this person's dad says to them to this day. This adult child is, oh, you're not a true believer because you mess up here and here and here. Just constant shaming.
And in programming, it'll begin to be like this. I was working with a young man this week, and it's like, so Jesus, you start to love on Jesus and these spirits are good. And he'll be like, you'll have the unholy communion where Jesus is like, partake of my body. Right. And it's oral sex. Right.
Wow.
If you really love Jesus. So the spirit will begin to take it to a whole nother level. So I'll sit and have, you know, this person will say, like, you know, I had sex with Jesus. He likes that. He loves me. I'm his bride. Or I'm, and I'm like, no, 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 no. Do you see how easy it is when those back parts have been hurt and abused, right? It'll start out, and but it's twisted. That's really obvious to us, but sweetie, it's not to them, right? Because it's like, it's tender sex. It's this, right?
Right. Did this pastor's wife, when she looked back on the years of being devoted to the false one, did she reveal anything to you that you can think of that, 5 years ago before we tested the spirit and figured it out, I remember he would say this, or I remember I used to believe this. Like, is there anything in her past that she can see
now? The works thing was the biggest, right? That, you know, it was like that you have to earn it, you have to be good enough, you know, you have to submit, or, you know, lots of shame. What else did she have? There was a lot of the supernatural stuff. She now can see that a lot of it was new age thinking, but with a charismatic twist put on it. There are a lot of charismatic churches that are operating under Kundalini, the fake Holy Spirit.
Can you unpack that? That's something I've been curious about. And again, you mentioned it earlier about God giving us the choice and Satan counterfeiting a genuine move of God. So can you kind of unpack that, how that's kind of been co-opted and what goes on there with the charismatic?
So when here's part of it. When you start to see the focus move from Christ, where the focus is on a person, or the focus is like this party in a charismatic church where it's all about y'all, where did Jesus go, right? That's a clue, right? We focus on Jesus. How many parties did it turn into the I'm going to drink and get drunk? And it was no, where did Jesus go? Right? It was about the fun and the Kundalini, right? Jesus says, you lift up my name, I'll draw all men unto myself. So that's a flag, right? Jesus is the door. Jesus is everything. So I want to read a little excerpt that I have. I'm working on my book.
Oh, all right.
But about the counterfeit Holy Spirit. Okay. That's part of the unholy Trinity. She's known as Kundalini, the Queen of Heaven. And it depends on what culture. I've learned because I've studied all these religions for 16 years. She's also known as Babylon. If you're looking into the Crowley religion, she's Jezebel, she's Gaia, she's Sibyl, she's the Lady of the Lake, she's Isis. All of that's the counterfeit Holy Spirit. And Kundalini coils around the base of the spine like a serpent. She engages your nervous system. In Survivor, she becomes the replacement mother figure. Remember, I told you that eventually they'll say, and there's a lot more to it, I reject all humans. I bond and attach to a deity. It's going to be her for the mother.
Welcome to the Lost Roman Heroes podcast. My name is Matthew.
And my name is Matteo.
We are serious nerds for Rome, and we are father and son.
Together on the Lost Roman Heroes podcast, we dive deep into the history of Rome, from its origin story starring Aeneas of Troy to its death with Constantine the 11th, uncovering Rome's greatest heroes along the way and ranking them.
There are plenty of great podcasts on the big men in Rome's history, guys like Caesar, Augustus, and Constantine, but that's not us. We're making this podcast to shed a light on Rome's forgotten heroes. From Cincinnatus to Scipio, from Aurelian to Belisarius and beyond, you will not believe the gems that we uncover. So please come join the Legion of Lost Roman Heroes and listen to us wherever you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, or find us at www.lostromanheroes.com.
She She has many forms. Of course, she can look like a human, but she often manifests as a serpent. She'll be a spider. Have you guys seen in some of those movies where you have this sort of metallic spider with just a head on top with one eyeball? She often looks like that. She'll be a starfish in people's programming manifesting. Programmed children are taught to cycle their life force through their body. And each of the chakras, if you use a New Age term, they learn to cycle their energy through those chakras, and it's actually given over to these spirits. So do y'all know anything about the Kabbalah tree, the Jewish mysticism? If you've ever seen it, it's like a tree that has above a tree and another root and tree below.
Okay, I've seen that picture, yeah.
As above, so below. And so on it, there are these circles. They're called sephirot. And the core of that programmed person, their core being, when I mean by core, it's your identity that makes you you, will have been split into each of those sephirot on that tree, right? You're divided up. And they're used as like portals. And so they'll learn to channel their energy along with Kundalini, the serpent, going up the tree like the tree of knowledge. That's what that is, the knowledge and good and evil. And it'll culminate at the top, which is called the crown, which is called Keter. Okay, and that's right between it's the spirit realm and the earth realm. And I just want to read you what they sit and believe when that happens. So they're channeling their energy up to that Keter, to that one sephirot. Kundalini power is serpent power. The serpent rises energy till it becomes one with the God self. Remember how I said you're going to have two parts, a worm part and a serpent part that says, I'll be my own God. That's going to sit at the top of that tree, that part. It's going to work with the fake Holy Spirit, Kundalini. And when you come together as one, you know you're one with the universe. You're one with your mother figure. Imagine all the trauma that they have, and you're going to want mothers. You've been alone. You've been rejected. And this is how they do magic and alchemy, channeling that energy up to that tree. And when they do that, when they become one with their mother figure, one with the universe, in that state, they are able to have visions, they can prophesy, they do witchcraft of the highest order, they do clairvoyance, they have heightened spiritual awareness. This is the toughest part of programming to break, because this is where they feel they have purpose and power. So the victim part is not the hardest to deal with. You must deal with the human will that finally got power and became a god. And it sounds crazy, but that's why the devil keeps them in bondage, because there's a perk to it. And so when they do that, they pierce the veil. They feel oneness with the universe. And that's just a little bit about that's the fake Holy Spirit. And you can get that without programming. Right. If you're doing the Kabbalah tree, if you're doing Hinduism, you know, and doing what they do, but they've learned how to force you to do it through trauma. That's the tree, I believe, of knowledge of good and evil that was in the garden.
Yeah. Now, we had Dr. Robert Rodich on the show a few months back. I got in touch with him through Rod Smith at the Millennial Mustard Seed podcast. And he was talking about the chakras and that his belief was when you come to Christ, that's severed. And it's just interesting. You're talking about this connecting to these tree. Yeah. I don't know if that has anything to do with what you were just saying. Does that connect in some way to the chakras and this sort of soulishness?
It does, but I'd have to go really, really deep, and I don't want to say things till I can quantify.
Okay.
Because you know what? As I've gone through this, I asked God to show me scriptures. There's so much in scripture to show that people were doing this in Bible times that we're just going to have to build on it and do a show.
Yeah,
I can't throw it out there without quantifying.
Well, since you did bring it up, what would be a way, just a surface level discernment of understanding a genuine move of God at a more charismatic Pentecostal type of a church versus some of the things that we should be a little more suspect? And you brought up one about more towards the self rather than Christ. But yeah, put it in your own words, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, who's getting the glory? Who's getting the focus? Is there fruit of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy, self-control, right? That's really easy. It's like, it's hard for somebody who hasn't been walking with Christ because we're so used to our flesh taking control. But it's like, God, there's going to be love there. There's going to be peace. There's going to be self-control, right? It's going to be no man getting the glory. It's not going to, do you see what I'm saying? Like, that's one of them. So the fruit of it. And then another one is that we know it's not going to be by the miracles, because it's like the whole scripture I have here with Matthew 7:21, where Jesus said, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not do miracles? So it's not going to be prophesying, miracles, signs and wonders, demons driving out, healing the sick. That's not how you're going to know. But he says, he who does the will of my Father. Are they up there preaching that, you know, you can sin all you want, this whole greasy grace movement, right? You don't have to repent. You got it all, right? Don't repent. Don't humble yourself before God.
Yeah, there's a whole push against lordship salvation. Oh no, you don't have to do a thing.
Fake Jesus.
Yeah.
Fake spirit. And we got to start calling it what it is, right? They don't like it.
And it's the pendulum swinging too far, because people go, oh, this is workspace. And then they swing the pendulum all the way towards, we don't have to prove a thing with our lifestyle. You know, it's these extremes versus the.
And why do we do that? Because both are true. We want to say that it's either God doesn't judge, he's not sovereign, he's not holy, that I need to respect him in his house and when I'm with him. He's all love. He's both. He's both. He is a loving father, but Papa means what he says, right? And so we have lost respect for authority. So we got to stop swinging and help people to go, he's both. You know, there's a time to speak truth and there's a time to do grace, give grace. You don't do one or the other all the time.
Yes. That's why we need the whole counsel of scripture, right? Because Satan just loves to proof text. Let me grab this verse here and grip this verse here, and now I'm going to build a whole doctrine on those two or those five or those 10, right? Versus taking the whole counsel together. Wow. That's so helpful. Boy, I think maybe since we're talking about testing the spirits, maybe let's get into infiltration and subversion in seminaries, churches, etc. Because we're talking about things that we may not know are going on in our city or even the church that we like to attend, maybe not by the leadership, but there are definitely, I mean, some of these bigger churches, I think you would agree are there's people that are sent in to try to get the pastor to fall, right? To try to.
Even the smaller churches.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if you have some anecdotes on infiltration into churches and seminaries and ways that these subtle doctrines of devils can be put in, where programming can happen, where false Jesus can come in, anything along those lines.
Well, I mean, we know that from the beginning of the church, there were scriptures that said there are false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, you know, false everything from the beginning, right? And we have to learn the difference. But I do know from having worked with survivors that they're sent in as agitators. It's common. And just like we said early on, they're sent in to find pastors' weaknesses to try to see if they can compromise you. I mean, I know of very specific churches where a child was programmed and, in the school system, the pastor was not. Wonderful church. I've been there many times, really fed. But you come in and the dark side is there. And so they begin to exploit him on his daughter, And so he began to compromise. They keep pushing you like a screw tape. Well, you know, you can't sit and preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you can't sit and preach on repentance of sin, right? Because, you know, whatever they can do to begin to get you to stop being effective. Now, luckily, when they got him to the point where it would be like he had his place where he said no, right? No. And they get you to where you literally want to worship Satan, right? And some people, it's sex. They come in. I know of people that said from the time I was a child, I'd seduce people. And it's not just the child doing it. You're taught the demons come in. You say, some people say, I wouldn't be seduced by an 8-year-old child. Well, when all those sex demons, and they know how to channel it, and you've got a weakness for sex, and they're going to blackmail you, right? And I'm not saying the kids weren't a victim, but those demons are real. We feel the seducing and the enchantment. Now, if you don't have that weakness in you, you can't be tempted, right?
Okay.
But they know how to find what it is. So they do those sorts of things. Most of the time, it's just like discord, right? Sowing, you know, they can't go directly against God's anointed. So they'll get us to be discontent with the pastor, right? Mm. Start talking and bad mouthing. They want to break up unity. It could be, you know, your big, they have loads of money. Maybe it's a small church and they're your biggest, giving loads of money. I know this is a real example of somebody coming in giving thousands of dollars. And the church, they brought a whole bunch of people with them, and they were all Galaxy's people. So I know who they are, that they were who, you know, this isn't me just saying it, right? Giving lots of money. And it's like the church starts to grow and build, and you become dependent on their money. Will you compromise? Right? That's just all I'll say. Right? Some people will. But they do that. And you know, you can't even really blame them. Because if it wasn't in us, we couldn't be tempted. If we would let Christ, here's the thing, the church is not, as a counselor, we have not let God deal with our hurts, our wounds, you know, so we could be conformed in the image and likeness of Christ. And he's trying to get us back to that, because that's what shuts the devil down. Sin is his inroad.
Where Christ said, the devil has nothing in me. But we all have them. We all have the hooks, and he knows our hooks.
And that's not this. We are all in the same boat. So we have to teach this and say, I am not judging you. I have my, we're all a work in process, right? And it has to become a place in church where we realize there's nothing among us that we struggle with that's not common to man, right? And I deal with people that have done the harshest things, but we create an environment. You are not shamed because you killed somebody and did horrible, right? That's what he came for, right? You can be forgiven. So, yes, that's how you tell, right? You got to know the word. And until you know the word, you need mature Christians around you to help you to rightly divide the word. But if you're a rebellious person who's been hurt a lot and you reject all authority, you're not fathered. That's a big condition in our church, right? And so we find ourselves with a problem with that.
Yeah. You know, this, I said something, we've been meeting as a family with a small group of believers doing home church now for, I guess, over a year it's been. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about sin. And I said, I think the enemy's objective is not to get us to fall. It's once we fall, he has something to work with. He's got something to tug on us. If he can get us to fall, now he's got an in. So it's like sin isn't the end game with the enemy, right? It's so he can whip us around the room like a rag doll.
Right. So he has an inroad.
Yeah.
A legal right. And so some people will sit and go, here's the thing that I hear people say, well, I've been given authority over all of these demons, and, you know, I'm just going to jump in and do deliverance. I'm like, hold on, are you walking a holy life? Right? Because if you're going there and you're going to cast out a demon of pornography from somebody and you're watching and looking at porn, that thing's going to laugh at you. Yes, you were given authority, right? But too many people think everything's just a given, right? Right? It's like God, Christ made all of this available, but there's many if then. If you do this, then you get the good and the blessing. If you don't, you get the curse and the destruction, right? And nobody's teaching that. We're doing all the fluff and stuff, right? We're kicking out some of the others. And people, the sad thing that breaks my heart is people are going, I'm doing all I know to do and I'm dying, I'm suffering. And they start to doubt Christ when it's really nobody's been taught the whole counsel of the Word of God.
Oh, yeah. Because it's maligning God's character, right? Because we're not seeing him in truth, because we're not dealing with the stuff that's right in front of us in most cases. And then we're going, God, why aren't you doing it? And why aren't you answering?
Yes. And he goes, I already did it.
Yeah.
Apply it.
Apply it. Oh, man. Yeah. That's so important. I mean, that's one of the things that I think in the year and a half Luke and I have been doing this show is a personal journey along with the show is how do these spiritual legalities work? And when someone is dealing with things, is it a generational thing? Is it a fractured personality thing? Is it a demonic thing? You know, I came up with a list. I don't have it in front of me of, you know, 20 some things of why God doesn't answer a prayer, you know, the way that you want. And you can just go to the scripture, right? And go, okay, well, you know, so that your prayers are not hindered, that verse says, you know, about treating, I think it was Peter talking about treating your wife well or something like that. And there's all these principles. And it's like you said, we have to apply them. And then there's just God's will of, you know, Paul praying three times for the thorn to be removed. Nope, my grace is sufficient. So maybe God is just leaving it there. So there's all these principles at work why we don't get set free. But this is a thought I had a couple years ago. Quick anecdote. We're singing a worship song in the last church we were going to. And this thought popped in my head because there's a lot of good worship songs that kind of have this theme of, you know, I'm in the storm and you're keeping me from, you know, flying away. I'm holding on to you and I'm going through the fire and just kind of the imagery of we're struggling, but I'm holding on to my faith. Good message. But a thought occurred to me and I'm like, you know, if we're not learning how to get set free from a lot of these besetting things that have answers, whether it's a deliverance minister, whether it's a someone like yourself who's counseling people out of SRA, and we're just going, God, I'm just going to keep hanging on to you, when maybe there's an answer out there that he wants us to find, then Satan wins, because it's like now we're a martyr. So, okay, yeah, we held on to our faith, but boy, did we sure get bloody along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't want to.
And so much of it is us. That's the thing. Yeah. There is the times when God says, you know, this is your testing. This is, you know, the fiery trial that's going to test your faith. But the majority of people that I work with, we're doing it to ourselves. We're perishing because we don't know what you just said, the scriptures and the principles.
Yeah. Well, let's see where to go from here. You mentioned something in one of your interviews about from 2016 on an exposing of evil increasing. Does that ring a bell? That there seems to be a season of God revealing these things where we're starting to gain back some ground maybe in the body of Christ.
Well, I mean, it makes me think about what we said before, where it's that he, at the time of the end, that everything that was hidden in darkness is going to be shouted to the rooftops. We're going to keep having it revealed. The apocalypse, it's the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There comes a scripture in the Bible where it says, I hadn't read it in a while, but it's saying it's complete. It's done. You know, what God, it would take no more faith. I hate that I can't quote it now, but it's in Revelation. And it's basically saying, it says the mystery of God is complete. And so what it's saying is no more does it take faith to believe in Christ. It's been like, look at now how many prophecies are being shown. Everything he said, all the armies lined up with Israel. There comes a point when that door shuts. Right. And this is the unveiling, the apocalypse, the unveiling that Jesus is who he said he was. And everybody that when it's not faith anymore, everybody has to get in by faith. Right. It's not proven. And that's where we're at. Again, we have to see it correctly and we have to adjust our mind. This is our deliverance. The world is going to get dark. He said it would get darker, but he also said the sons and daughters of God that in the time of the end, in Daniel, we're going to shine like the stars. We're going to lead many to Christ. We're going to, in the New Testament, the powers of the age to come, right? His people, those that are the serious Christians, right? We're going to be delivered. Martyrs in the old days were worshipped, and not everybody's called to be a martyr. It's a high honor. But back in the old days, when you read the accounts, they were so full of the glory of God during Nero's days and burned at the stake. It made him insane. There were even people I learned when I was taking Bible classes as an undergraduate, you know, that the stories they were saying, there were some people that it was so glorious to be a martyr that were wanting to be a martyr and they weren't called, right? So you don't get the anointing. You only if you're in God's will. But we don't have anything to fear because I don't have to be the person that wills to not take the mark. I just have to draw near to my Jesus. I just have to let Jesus have his way. He equips me. He fills me with glory. That's one thing I've learned in the ministry I do. I can't do this. If y'all see the witchcraft and the things that come against me, I quit trying a long time ago. Just draw, walk near him, stay with him. It's all about relationship, right? Just like it's not the people who did the stuff. Depart from me, I never knew you. Everything's relational, but he equips us for everything. So,
yeah,
it's not a bad time. This is a glorious time. We've prayed for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard people say, and I've said it myself, I think Christ's bodies, the ecclesia, his church, this is going to be our finest hour, and it's going to separate the sheep and the goats. Mm-hmm. What do you see coming? I mean, you mentioned about Israel. What sense do you have of this decade? What's going on? And then anything else connected to maybe what you're learning from the survivors that you counsel about the enemy's plans and what they're up to? Because I know Russ Dizdar gained a ton of insight from the counseling that he did with these Satanists and Luciferians. And, you know, for us to not be unaware of the enemy's schemes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been saying it since, like, you know, before the whole Patriot movement and stuff, when Trump was in office, I remember even my intercessors and some of the conferences that I would be in, I was like, this is it. They're like, oh, it's going to get better and this and that. I'm like, no. I've had the prophetic dreams. They started, you know, back in 2000 of June. This is it. And so I believe over time it began to show that this is it. That we are on the verge of the beast system rising. But I know from the programming, again, I haven't read Russ's book. I hope to be able to one day. But the plans of the enemy, and God gives permission for this, is that with this end of the world programming, it has two stages. By the way, the second stage happened when you saw Biden come in and all the women were wearing purple. Remember all the women that were wearing at the inauguration, Michelle Obama and all that? That was stage two. But their goal has been all along that they're watching right now for that flashpoint. is that they want to activate something called release the, my people call it release the beast programming. It's where the altars, the personalities inside of them that took the wrath, the hate, the murder from all the evil stuff done to them. They want to activate this army and release the beast at a time when World War III starts. And again, the whole Black Lives Matter and all of that were, I believe, based on my people, were beta tests to see if it would still work. A lot of your school shootings, things like that, see how they're doing test runs. But they want to culminate that release the beast. Maybe that's his black army, what he calls it, at the same time that there are cataclysmic events like meteors, just like in the Bible, meteor showers. If you watch cosmic weather, you know we're right on the brink of that. Volcanoes and World War III. And so I decoded, if you watch my video, a Super Bowl, two Super Bowls ago, it might have been three, where they were showing the whole Mad Max apocalypse scenario. So the goal is to have mass destruction and chaos and death. And then out of that desolation, the Antichrist rises up. He's not a monster. He's going to be looking like, I'm charismatic. I have a solution to all of this. I am the Messiah, right? I am the good guy. They've held back science stuff. My people have told me about the science that we're having roll out now. It's been around since the 50s, right? It's not new, but they've saved it to this time for the lying signs and wonders, right? And so they're going to roll out med beds. They're going to roll out all these kinds of things that can heal you. You're going to not have to work anymore. Everybody's going to be paid, and you're going to have virtual reality and interface with quantum computers and live your dream life, right? But it'll cost you your soul. And so they're hoping to take people like us, that they're hoping that we will be traumatized like those children were after those cataclysmic events. And we'll say, I'll do anything if you just make it stop, right? You know, just make it stop. Okay, heal me now. Take away the trauma, right? Make me forget. And so that's the devil's plan. That's part of what this programmed people's job has been to do. He wants to release it at a very strategic time. I don't know if that's what's in the book of Russ Dizdar.
Oh, the Black Awakening.
But but that's what that's about.
It's similar in that, Luke, you can correct or add to what I'm going to say, but I think it's similar in that I think the subtitle was The Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. And the idea was, it's not going to be one mass shooting in Las Vegas or wherever. It's going to be 20 of them on the same day. It's going to be such fear and panic, you know, but it's along the same lines that what you're saying, where they're going to create.
And that, I would say, it's going to be worldwide, yeah, all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's not just the super soldiers, because you're going to have, if you get the higher up people, these super soldiers, the Black Lives Matter, they call them the pawns. And they say the pawns go first, right? They're going to be your pillage and your, you know, they're people who they think are dispensable and just, you know, trash to whatever. But then you have some of your higher ups that I know personally, some people that it's going to be a time when resources are limited is what that they have expected all along. You're going to have people migrating from place to place. I know of a specific person, and their goal is to lure people. Actually, I know two. Lure people to say, here's a safe place, come here. And what they're luring them to is a place of where there's a lot of dark principalities, where they have a lot of power. And they're going to, you know, like, here, you're safe, you know, from what's happening. And it's going to be mass sacrifice. They want to, they use that energy. They use energy of dark emotions and stuff for alchemy. It's going to usher in and filter up to the Antichrist for, like, the Holy Spirit's going to have a big push, but that's Satan's big push. He's going to birth us as the sons of God, but it's going to birth his rising, is the way that they view it as well, with these mass sacrifices. Come over here, it's safe, right?
Yeah, no, it's interesting you mentioned about the channeling of all that fear and negative energy. We mentioned it many episodes ago, Ghostbusters 2. You had all this negative energy in New York, and it was fueling this pink goo that released this demonic spirit in the city. And it was because of the negative energy. And it's like, yeah, there's a little something to that.
Yeah, that reminds me, if you want to hear a story of how they use some heavy magic.
Yeah, go for
like
it.
That. They want to have the whole earth, just like where there's strongholds of Satan, where the land has been defiled with a lot of sin. You've got dark spirits. You have godly strongholds where people have prayed and worshiped and done good right with God. And so those spirits that are territorial, they can't come to the godly places, right? And so here's one of the tactics that, you know, you have to have a legal right. There has to been, you know, you have intercessors. I've had them say, oh, I went to this place and I prayed for the stronghold of this principality come down. And I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, it doesn't work that way. All the people have to repent in that area for that. You can't just cast out a principality. It has a legal right, right? And so what they do, Galaxy, one of the things that she shared. So what they're doing here, they're kind of doing, they've been doing this here in America. So they want us, they're trying to get us to have a civil war. They know that when the armies trample on Israel, she's going to have nobody protecting her, and we are her best ally, right? So we have to not, in order for that prophecy of God, which is true, to be true, she's going to be left alone. That means America, we're going to have to be busy, right? They're going to invade us. We're hearing that in the news and stuff now. So they've been trying to make Republican fight Democrat. Families disown each other for Trump or Biden or whatever. They have to make us hate our brother and not see them as human before we can kill them, right? And so we don't have strong enough spirits like they do in some of the Middle Eastern countries where murder is so rampant and normal. So they'll have somebody who is a bloodliner. If you're a person who is a bloodliner, it's because your family line reproduced with fallen spirits, like in Genesis 6, and you produced hybrids. And there's varying percentages. They're very proud of it. That's what the Illuminati bloodlines are about. But what that does is it's taking the iniquity force in a family line and forging it till it's so strong that you can do things like shape-shifting. That's, you know, some of the people who go to like Africa and they'll be like, I saw somebody, you know, the witch doctor shape-shift. You can only do that when you can become so one and unified with a fallen spirit, just like we would Holy Spirit. You have Enoch who's just translated, right? So that iniquity force in their bloodline allows them to become so one with their familiar spirits and demons, they can shapeshift and take on the form of that entity and do superhuman things.
I forget, it might have been a Blurry Creatures episode, Luke, but there was someone that said that, it might have actually been Chief Joseph Riverwind, Native American, but anyway, wherever I heard it, they said that a person had to kill someone close to them that they cared about in order to be able to shapeshift. So similar to what you're talking about, I think.
And these bloodliners is way more than that.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, the, you know, because even the African stuff is lower magic than this Illuminati stuff. It's much more organized. So somebody that's a bloodliner like that, a principality is not like a demon. They don't need to be housed in a human being and carried, but if it meets their need, they'll do it. And so let's just say somebody can carry over. Let's say they go over to the Middle Eastern place, do a ritual like Galaxy. She'll house this warring, murderous spirit against your brother. Come, because that legally, that spirit can't cross that boundary because Satan has to obey God, right? But human beings are the only race of being that can disobey God, right? So she can carry as a human being her will and move that spirit over here. and begin to exude that influence of murder. And they're trying to make us fight and hate our brother right now to do a civil war. And they're hoping we'll get caught up by them throwing out the violence and the riots. They want people, us as Christians, that's why I'm saying this. If you're a Christian, don't get caught up in all of that crap. They're wanting us to get caught up in that snowball effect and give that entity permission. I hate my brother. If I've hated him, I've already murdered him. If I'm sitting here causing division, do you see how they'll use a tactic like that? You start killing each other, which is what they're hoping they're going to get that flashpoint, then that entity can stay. That's, right? You get enough sin.
That's very interesting. So you reminded me, we had, I don't know if you're familiar with Timothy Bentz, but he told us about the gatekeeping principle. It's one of our older episodes where, to varying degrees, what you allow in your heart can be released in your home or even your city or beyond. And he told an anecdote where there was only 7 or 8 Christian leaders in a city down where he was in Oklahoma. There was a 1 square mile area of town. It wasn't the worst area of the city, but most of the murders happened in this 1 square mile. And it wasn't until he was able to convince these leaders that had bitterness and anger towards one another that they repented, and they saw the murder rate drop.
Yep. That's how it works. And so that's when I have these intercessors and they're like, you know, we went and took this one down. And I'm like, did the crime rates go down? Did the whatever, right? It's Jesus preaching the gospel, right? Telling them, helping the people. That's what brings it down. We must repent and break ties in agreement with those things for them to lose their power.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. What is there a prophetic dream or two that you could share? You said it, you were getting them back in 2000, year 2000?
About the days of, yeah, they're already happening now, so they're not so much.
Wow.
I mean, I saw the Civil War coming. I saw, wow, I'd rather just read them sometime.
Yeah,
but,
that would be great.
But that's why, like, what I would see, I would begin in the June of 2000, I started having prophetic dreams of the time of civil unrest and the wars, and even that the government was going to move towards communism, and that a war would take place, on civil war in this nation. And I remember going to people in churches, and all I would get was like, here, read the Happy Intercessor book. God doesn't speak like that, right? And I'm like, but it's a warning. He warns before things happen, right? And people didn't want to believe it, but I knew I'd heard from God, and it was God.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. We could have you read some of those sometime. Yeah, I think you mentioned a few minutes ago the idea of Israel being protected by America. So it's my sense that they're going to try to bring America to its knees so they can get at Israel. Is that?
Absolutely. They have to neutralize us to get to them because we're their biggest ally. And we know that the armies trample Jerusalem underfoot. Right. And the armies are already encamped about Jerusalem, but we're so close. And I don't want to get into all of it because it's so much now,
yeah,
but I can see that there's something in survivors called Petra programming.
Okay.
And, you know, it's has to do with Purple Rain. It has to do with all the alien stuff that's showing up right now. And remember, the Jews are supposed to run to the desert. Some say to Petra, right, when the armies come, it says, don't go down from your rooftop to get your jacket in your house, just go straight.
Yeah.
But they have that same kind of programming for what programmed people are to do when that time comes as well. So I see that right now in programmed people that's up and ready to be activated. So not only do I see the news, it's that easy to predict, but I can sit and look at people in Moscow, the Philippines, Europe, people here, and all that same program's pulled up in all of them. They don't even know each other or talk.
Yeah, it's sophisticated. The great news is our God is above all that stuff.
Totally.
You know, maybe just leave us off with I don't know, one anecdote or story of a survivor getting free or something that turned around that was so dark. Is there anything that comes to mind along those lines off the top of your head, or even just, what you see,
I mean,
in the darkness that's coming, because we're talking about the church's finest hour coming up. Yeah.
I mean, the Lord has told me all along, I believe that the greatest end time harvest are going to be these survivors. Mm. He is a just God. I Holy Spirit told me, and you have to test it, right, that there would come a time at the time of the end. Because, you know, when I used to have to deprogram like my daughter and people like Galaxy, I would have to go the beginning lab programming, which is like a Jenga. If you take that out, all the other programming falls,
yeah,
was so deep inside of a survivor that they had to go through hell and years of programming buried on top of it. But right now, all of that lab programming is up top, because in order for them, they're moving from the old world programming to what's setting up for the new. So all of it's been up to the top for about 3 years, the lab programming. So survivors don't have to go through all the years of deprogramming like they did. And so the Lord showed me when this happened, because I knew when the end of the world programming comes, they're going to take the base programming and bring it up to the top. And so I'm saying this for people for hope.
Okay.
And so I said, Lord, if that happens, that means when they open the prison doors for these parts, they can be free. And that's happening. I am seeing miraculous things happening in these survivors, because the devil had to open the doors to let some of these parts, like the worm and the serpent, and I know it sounds crazy, out. And so they're not having to go through all these layers and layers of programming. So it's faster. He can do the miraculous. And I believe he's moving because of visions and prophecies he gave me years ago, where we can, because of the way they do in program, work in deliverance and setting these people free in stadiums and masses.
Wow.
And though that was prophesied years ago, and I'm doing right now as of about a month or two ago, setting that up. I even had somebody call me and say, I feel like I need to rent a stadium for you. Like, God showed me that back in 1994. I had an open vision, right, of standing. I was a brand new Christian, 2 weeks saved. And I didn't even know what open vision was. And I was standing in a stadium, and it was just doing deliverance. And I had prophets come through the years and say, I see you standing in an amphitheater, and it's like a rocket power of God coming out of your mouth, and people are staying all night through the day, and deliverance is happening over and over, and it's mostly young people. And he told me about a month or two ago, he said, I want you to shift gears of this ministry. And we're not, because I've been waiting for the mass stuff to happen. And so he said, I want you to spend time with me. I'm changing gears. We're going to start moving to the masses. And somebody called me that day, my biggest ministry contributor. She said, I know this sounds crazy, but I feel like me and my husband need to rent you a stadium so that you can go. My mouth said, and we just all went on a retreat. I'm now working with people all over the country that we're joining forces together as ministries. We fasted and prayed together today.
Wow.
We're doing it bi-weekly. People with money, resources, and stuff are all coming together. I don't know what it's going to look like. It's very humbling, but there's hope. He has not left you as orphans. These are his children. The devil will not have them. Jesus said, I've not lost one that the Father sent me, and he won't. So there's hope. Yes, we're informing you of what the devil's done, but I can tell you that as my daughter sitting free and others, there is nothing that this world has traumatized or put you through that God cannot heal, and he has, and he does. And that's the truth, that he is enough. And the devil's given these people his best shot, and they still dare to love. They still come back to Jesus, right? What's more powerful, love? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good, Gina. Thanks so much. Well, if it's a quick question, maybe you can answer it. Otherwise, save it for next time. But the thought I had, because you said that the enemy had to kind of change the layers of programming, which is making these people easier for you and others like you to set them free with Jesus' help. But what is, if it's a quick answer, go ahead. But if it's not, we'll save it for next time. Why is the enemy reordering the programming? What is he trying to get out of it that he has to make it relayer it? You said the lab program or whatever.
Right. The Purple Rain program, where I said the whole purple end of the world, is about them. They see worlds inside. The stories that they have inside is another way of hiding what's really happening to the survivor. So this purple flood, Purple Rain, okay, is supposed to come, and they're supposed to fry their system, right, at the time of the end. And they're supposed to take the main, strongest core parts and bring them up front, and then recycle the less powerful parts. Hmm. So they're gathering up the core splits so that this new Antichrist system, they can be programmed and set up for that.
Oh.
And so the deepest, most hidden parts were the core splits. That was done in the lab. The strongest part of your identity, and all the other fragments were split off from them. So they're the strongest core self. He hid them, but he's now has to bring them up because the new program's happening.
Hmm.
So it was a very risky time for him, but God.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating. Well, we could probably unpack that some more next time, but I'll leave a couple teasers for next time for things that we didn't get to as far as reprogramming, right? We were talking off air about reprogramming people who are trying to get set free, but there are those mm-hmm. who are kind of playing this game of catching those who are trying to get set free and trying to get them put back in the system. And then, man, there's so much. I got a whole page of notes here from different interviews, but, yeah, I think it's just so instructive. So we're very thankful to have you, Gina, for your time and your insight.
I'm so glad to be here. I like you guys.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, we'll wrap up, for now, and we hope to have you back soon. So thanks so much again, Gina.
Bye-bye.